Hello, and welcome to This Week in History class. I'm your host, John Larson. This week we'll be looking at the 1970s and 80s, with a variety of topics from education to music to movies. To start us off, Kira is going to tell us about education from that time period.
My topic for the History Extra this week is changing education in the 1970s. Up until the 1960s, classes were taught with the teacher at the front of the class, lecturing, and the students learning through memorization and tests. Sounds similar to what we have? Change started in Britain. The movement was called informal education, and it slowly started to leak into America. It encouraged learning by doing, and in America came to be called open education. Today, it is considered a failed experiment, but if you really look at it, the open classroom was a great idea. It mostly died out in the late 1970s, but its effects continue to be seen today. What is open education? It was a form of teaching where children would interact with workshop-like learning centers, doing and learning things that interested them most. It mostly occurred in elementary schools, though middle and high schools saw it too. Teachers guided their students where they needed help, instead of simply preaching to them. Learning was self-motivated and self-determined. In some cases, even having a specific grade was removed as students learned at their own pace. It was described as active learning instead of passive learning. Thousands of schools were built around without walls to promote this environment. However, by the late 1970s, this style of teaching came under fire as the economy faltered and the Vietnam War divided the country. It was thought that standards had slipped, that education was backsliding. Traditional schools made a comeback, state standardized tests were created, and everything settled down. But things didn't return entirely to how they were. Even today, we see the changes wrought by this time. Labs in science class, working with cubes and cutouts in math. We don't sit statically in our desks anymore. We're taught more dynamically, and we're encouraged to think for ourselves. For all this and more, the way of teaching we've known all our life, we can thank the open classroom and the changes of the 1970s.
Thanks, Kira. I actually have a couple friends who were brought up as teachers in that time period and swear by the open teaching method. Love it, absolutely. Others, not so much. But it is an interesting way. One thing I would add a little bit to that is that you're seeing some of what was done in the open teaching classrooms in what's today called project-based learning. If you want to look up stuff on that, you can go to a number of different places. Edutopia has an interesting little thing on project-based learning. Minnesota New Country School out of Henderson, Minnesota, actually has a number of things on project-based learning. They're actually a project-based school, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, now we're going to get into the music portion of it, of the show. Not that we normally have one, but this week we actually have quite a bit of music. First, Sherry is going to tell us a little bit about music in the 70s and 80s overall. Then we're going to look specifically at two groups. One, Tori and Kyle are going to tell us about KISS, and then Colin is going to tell us about the NWA.
Welcome to the History Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about music in the late 70s and early 80s. Some genres that were big during this time were pop, disco, hard rock, punk rock, power pop, which combined elements of punk rock and pop music, and new wave, which was created from the experimentation of synthesizers. Disco was a genre most associated with the 1970s. It grew to be super popular and was used to make bands such as the Bee Gees popular. It didn't last as long as some people had hoped, though. By 1977, it was starting to die, as some people called it. But the Bee Gees album Saturday Night Fever and the movie with the same title caused it to be prolonged. But by the early 80s, it was difficult for any band associated with disco to sell records or concert tickets. In the 1970s, the hard rock genre was seen as the most prominent subgenres of rock music, with bands such as Alice Cooper, Led Zeppelin, Queen, Black Sabbath, and Blue Oyster Cult. In the late 70s, other bands such as AC/DC, KISS, Aerosmith, and Van Halen emerged. In the mid-1970s, the punk rock genre made its rise with bands such as the Ramones and Blondie. In the late 1970s, new wave began with bands such as Talking Heads, The Cars, and Devo. Some of these bands can still be heard today and are still as popular as they were 40 years ago.
Face paint and stage outfits, American rock group Kiss rose to prominence in the mid to late 70s with their elaborate live performances, which featured fire-breathing, blood-spitting, smoking guitars, shooting rockets, and levitating drum kits. The band Kiss was created in New York in January of 1973 by Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley. Their stage names included Star Child for Stanley on rhythm guitar, The Demon for Simmons on bass and vocals, Spaceman, most notably Ace Frehley on lead guitar, and The Cat, originally Peter Criss on drums. The band has had at least 5 lead guitarists and 3 drummers, with 2 unchanging members over the years.
They have had many notable performances, including Super Bowl 33, the Winter Olympics of 2002, and the 2005 Rockin' the Corpse concert for the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Along with 28 gold albums and many platinum records, they also made a TV movie, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, which was not a great success due to the film's poor acting and semi-comedic script. Most Kiss fans disliked the film. The band themselves disliked it so much that nobody working for the band was allowed to mention it in their presence. Despite this blunder and others, they have continued to make music and maintain a rigorous tour schedule until the present day, including headlining a tour with Def Leppard in 2014. Kiss was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in April 2014, along with Hall & Oates, Nirvana, and Bruce Springsteen's band, the E Street Band.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Straight out of Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. From the gang called niggas with attitudes. When I'm called off, I got a sawed off. Squeeze the trigger and bodies are hauled off.
Compton.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of Compton.
New Wave was the unapologetic, violent pioneers of gangster rap. In many ways, they were the most notorious rap group in the history, emerging in the late 80s. The group's members consisted of Eazy-E, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, MC Ren, and DJ Yella. Eazy-E, who was a former drug dealer who started Ruthless Records with the money he earned by pushing, was attempting to start a rap empire by building a roster of successful rap artist. However, he wasn't having much success until Dr. Dre, a member of the world-class Wrecking Crew, and Ice Cube began writing songs for Ruthless. Eazy tried to give one of the duo's songs, Boys in the Hood, to Ruthless signees HBO, and when the group refused, Eazy-E formed NWA, an acronym for Niggas with Attitudes. With Dre and Cube adding world-class Wrecking Crew member DJ Yella, the Arabian Prince, and the DOC to the group. NWA's first album, NWA and the Posse, was a party-oriented jam record that largely went ignored upon its 1987 release. In the following year, the group added MC Ren and revamped their sound, bringing in many of the noisy, extreme sonic innovations of Public Enemy and adopting a self-consistently violent and dangerous lyrical stance. Late in 88, NWA delivered Straight Outta Compton, a vicious hardcore record that became underground hit with virtually no support from the radio, the press, or MTV. NWA became notorious for their hardcore lyrics, especially those of Fuck the Police, which resulted in the FBI sending a warning letter to Ruthless and its parent company Priority, suggesting that the group should watch their step. Most of the group's political threat left with Ice Cube when he departed in late 1989 amidst many financial disagreements. A nasty feud between NWA and Cube began that would accumulate with Cube's No Vaseline, an attack on the group's management released in 1991 Death Certificate album. By the time the song was released, NWA, for all its intents and purposes, was finished. Dre left the group from Death Row Records with Suge Knight in 1992. According to legend, Knight threatened to kill NWA's manager, Jerry Hibbler, if he refused to let Dre out of the contract. Over the next few years, Dre and Eazy engaged in a publicized feud, which included both the rappers attacking each other on their respective solo albums. MC Ren and Yella both released solo albums, which were largely ignored, and Eazy-E continued to record albums that turned him into a complete self-parody until his tragic death from AIDS in March 1995. Before he died, Dre and Cube both made amends with Easy. With his first solo album, 1992's The Chronic, Dre established himself as a premier hip-hop producer of the mid-90s, setting the pace for much of the hardcore rap with its elastic bass and deep rolling grooves. Gangsta rap established itself in the most popular form of hip-hop during the 90s. In other words, N.W.A.'s a moralistic temporarily triumphed over the socially conscious self-award hip-hop of Public Enemy, and it's completely rewrote the rules of hip-hop for the 90s.
Thanks, guys. Finally, we're going to end with other forms of entertainment from the 70s and 80s. We're going to look at the introduction of cable, the start of cable with Callie and Emily, and we're going to end with Star Wars, a little review by Tristan.
Hi, this is Callie and Emily, and we'll be talking about CNN. CNN, an American basic cable and satellite television channel that is owned by the Turner Broadcasting System division of Time Warner, was founded in 1980 by Ted Turner and 25 other original members, who invested $20 million into the network. Upon its launch, CNN became the first channel to provide 24-hour television news coverage and was the first of all news television network in the United States. 4 years prior to CNN's launch in December 1976, Ted Turner turned his Atlanta, Georgia independent station, WTBS, into one of the original satellite-distributed television channels, using a transponder on RCA's Satcom 1 geostationary satellite. The cable news network was intended to be distributed on RCA's new Satcom 3, which was lost on its launch date of December 7, 1979. Because replacement transmission capacity was not readily available, the Turner Broadcasting System filed suit against RCA seeking use of another communication satellite and $35.5 million in damages. On March 5th, Turner announced that a consent order had been worked out with RCA in federal court, allowing CNN to begin operations on June 1st as scheduled, using a transponder on Satcom 1.
CNN was the world's first 24-hour television news network. The network signed on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time from its headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, with a lead story about the attempted assassination of civil rights leader Vernon Jordan. CNN went on to change the notion that news could only be reported at fixed times throughout the day. At the times of CNN's launch, TV news was dominated by three major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and their nightly 30-minute broadcast. Initially available in less than 2 million U.S. homes, today CNN is seen in more than 89 million American households and over 160 million homes internationally. In its first years of operation, CNN lost money and was ridiculed as the Chicken Noodle Network. However, Turner continued to invest in building up the network's news bureaus around the world, and in 1983, he bought Satellite News Channel, owned in part by ABC, and thereby eliminated CNN's main competitor. CNN eventually came to be known for covering live events around the world as they happened, often beating the major networks to the punch. The network gained significant traction with its live coverage from the Persian Gulf War in 1991, and the network's audience grew along with the increasing popularity of cable television during the 1990s. Thanks for listening.
Star Wars is a 1977 American epic space opera. Written and directed by George Lucas, this film was a huge success, earning $461 million in the U.S., and $314 million overseas. This totaled $775 million worldwide. Star Wars surpassed Jaws, the 1975 film about that man-eating shark who ate boats and people and surfers and stuff, making Star Wars the highest-grossing film, or grossing. Star Wars received 10 Academy Award nominations, winning 6 out of those 10. This film was a masterpiece and is a masterpiece, and is still regarded as the best film today. The film itself is about a civil war between the Rebel Alliance and Galactic Empire. Luke Skywalker comes into play when 2 droids containing stolen architectural plans for the Death Star, a giant space station the size of a moon, equipped with a laser to destroy planets. After the Galactic Empire starts to wage war to find these droids, Luke agrees to join Obi-Wan Kenobi, a Jedi Master, with the lightsabers and stuff, on a massive journey to turn the plans to the Rebel Alliance and save the galaxy from the Galactic Empire. With its major success and beautiful storyline, George Lucas went on to make 5 more already released movies. A cartoon on Cartoon Network called Star Wars: The Clone Wars, 8 more TV shows, 109 video games, holy, 10 virtual pinball games, and many, many more. Star Wars is still super popular today. It has been remade multiple times to keep up with the Blu-ray and HD graphics. It even has another chapter in the movie series coming out December 18th, 2015. Don't miss it. The Force is clearly strong with this one. May the Force be with you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I want to thank again Kira, Sherry, Tori, Kyle, Colin, Emily, Callie, and Tristan for their contributions. I also want to thank Ethan Frazier for developing, producing, writing our theme music. And I want to let you know, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can. We are at TWIHC at Twic. Or you can follow me on Twitter at TeacherJLars. I want to thank you again for listening. Hopefully you'll join us next week. This has been This Week in History Class. Bye now.